AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM Radio, which, as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and southern Delaware. And, of course, I'd like to let you know that there's a lot of things going on. We have a lot of things to discuss today. And first of all, I'm really very pleased and honored to hear from many people who let me know that they tune in, let me know that they appreciate the words of Larkin Conley, Rich Logis, Mark Andel, our guests, our assistants, of our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, because quite frankly, this is a one-of-a-kind movement across the USA. I also would like to say a big thank you to the many radio stations that pick up my weekly commentary and broadcast it during their public service time. That gives them an opportunity to outreach to their people using the name American Workers Radio, the Buy American Made campaign, and using my name as the person who authors the weekly commentary. In this new world, it seems that everybody wants to point to the next person to be the person in charge of what's happening in the area, and no one wants to take the backlash, or whatever you want to call it, for making sure that the person who did provide the information, which could be very positive or sometime critical, it's not them. But thank you guys, and I appreciate all that you are doing for our movement. Well, on this Wednesday, October the 12th, we are a few weeks away from the midterm elections in America. Wow. It's been talked about for more than a year, and none of us can say exactly how things are going to turn out. And a lot of people really don't care. They just tell me, whatever it is, it is. I might vote, I might not vote. And I give my opinion, as you can understand. Personally, I want to see the results of the election so that we can all see the will of the voters. Now, people are predicting it's going to be 50%, 60%. I want to see who's going to be motivated. We went on a major campaign to register people, and I want to tell you there's still time for you to register in most states. And there is a register to vote link right on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. That link goes to all states, all locales, all cities, towns, you name it, it goes there. It is now being done electronically for the convenience of people so that there's not that delay in processing. And so if you have not voted, you want to change, you don't have to change your registration at this point because it is, you know, the general election, and no matter how you're registered, you can vote for whoever you choose. Now, I also want to say that no matter what happens, our type of message has to grow. And I mean the Buy American Made campaign message has to grow. And when it's over, whether it's Democrats or Republicans win, we have to all get together and work out things so that we're doing things for the well-being of the United States of America and the American people. That's something many, many things are not being considered. When you look at the advertisements on TV, there's so much mudslinging that it takes all the time and energy out of what really could be accomplished during this election process. And that also turns away a lot of people. They say, oh, it's just a bloodbath of negative news and, you know, this and that. I say, yes, it is. However, look through the negative news and try to find the person who influences you most. And I'm going to speak a little bit about that during the broadcast today. What America really needs is more jobs and industries, not social service programs. If you listen to a lot of the candidates, they just keep saying what they're going to give instead of what people can give to help themselves, which is a job, a future, a savings account, be able to pay their bills. That's really what is needed, not more programs that is going to put America in debt, which means all of us and all of our children's future. Today, American workers are really in competition with a growing number of workers from around the world. Just this morning, when I was going into a store to get coffee, there was a company putting in some new electronic devices. And I, you know, it was a little delay, so I mentioned to the person, I said, "Wow, it seems that there's a lot of new things coming in." And he said, "Yes, and there's a lot of new workers coming in to install it because they come along with the new registers because they want to make sure that their product is perfectly installed." Very interesting. I thought, wow, that's very interesting, but it's a fact of our life. And until we do something about it, it's not going to change. Now, as I said a million times, in order for us to return to being a nation with many levels of employment, from making things, billing things, shipping things, you know, the management, the people who work in the office, you know, processing the financials and things like that, till we get to that 50-50 balance, we're going to have many problems here in the USA. And it's really now what you call 80-20. And, you know, when you get to the point where you're looking for investors to get involved in America again, instead of getting involved in foreign countries, you know you've reached a point that has to really be addressed. And as we look at what took place in the United States, we see that in more recent years, 40 to 50% of what's been going on in those 40 to 50 years is America's leaders spending their time which we pay for as taxpayers, and our money, our tax dollars, on issues that do not promote the well-being of the American people. That means all of us and our families. And because people are now seeking to be reelected, it's a good time to listen to what they have to say. Some of them say, "Well, we don't receive much contact from constituents." So I said, "Well, I will mention that and encourage people to contact your office. And for your convenience, right on the front page of American Workers Radio, that we have a special link. It's Contact Your Elected Officials link here. It goes right to your elected officials link. All you have to do is contact them and say, a telephone call these days, a message on their machine is all taken into consideration. You have to only tell them, kindly put some effort into working for the well-being of the American people and also using our tax dollars for the benefit of America. So we can stop being the heavy lifting people. The people are just doing nothing and allowing all this foreign stuff to come in and take us over. It's been good to hear that people are starting to talk about industries interested in coming back to towns and cities in America. However, those same businesses, as they're doing their planning, are reporting that they can't find enough skilled workers. They're going to local high schools, they're going to colleges, they're going to employment services, and they simply can't find enough talented workers to fill jobs. And they're not looking just for 6 months or a year. They're looking for people that'll be able to stay with them for a while so that they make their investment in America worthwhile. So for your own well-being and the well-being of your children and grandchildren, I'm asking you to contact your elected leaders this week. They're right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, no matter what it is. They are listed. Just put in your zip code and your congressman, your senator, your local state representative, will all be listed on that. I did try it out, and it was extremely good. Offer them your opinion, and that way they can't say that they didn't hear from their constituents. I'd like to now take a moment and welcome Mark Andel. Mark Andel, how are you doing? What do you think about this election? Do you think that people running for election are talking about what we need them to talk about?
Yeah, good morning, Mike and Henry and Larkin and Rich and our listeners. Mike, a lot going on up here. Yes, big voting time coming up. And, you know, the big question is, where's common sense? And, you know, like you said, we don't want to hear people just worried about their selfish people. We want to elect qualified, non-selfish, business smart leaders. And it's important as we the people to do just that. I believe in voting November 8th and also voting with your dollar and buying made in American local in this country's tough, tough times. Mike, I do want to bring up, we're going to welcome our 1,100th bus. We know now this Saturday morning. It's funny, we have 6 buses in 1 hour Saturday morning arriving at the Made in America store in Elma, New York. And 4 of them, 6, are from Illinois. 1 is from Arkansas, and 1 is from Wisconsin. 300 people in 1 hour. We're not sure which one's going to be the 1,100th bus. And, Mike, I like to bring this up because Dorothy Fortney, my team, did a great job turning our store into a world-class destination, and it is the only Made in America store in the world that's 100% Made in America products. We've got 11,000 now. But it's a big honor. But if you look back at 1,100 buses, we've welcomed over 55,000 visitors on these 1,100 buses, and all shapes, sizes, race of Americans. And you know what, Mike, I've pretty well stepped on 95% of them, told my story, and I do not see what we see on the news. I see great Americans, great people from all states. I shake the hands, and I can tell by their hand what they've done for a living, who they are. And it's just great, Mike. It's a big honor. We're going to release a press release tomorrow. But it's a statement. People are loving. They're coming to Niagara Falls, and they're coming to the Made in America store up in Buffalo. Now we're past 130 buses for this year alone, and it's really taken off in the last month, even more and more, and they're just calling in, they're coming. But it's great to see, and they care, Mike. I've got some great stories. I welcomed one from Arkansas Saturday. The gentleman, the driver, got on, and the group leader, before I got on, said, hey, don't buy a thing. We have no room. It's been an 8-day trip. You got your overnight luggage. We're full. We're going home. I did my story, basically the movie story and where we're at today, and the guy got back on. He said, don't listen to a word I just said. You buy everything you can from this store, and we're going to find a way to haul it. And they spent over $4,000, and it was. But the stories you hear, they want to keep skilled trades going. They believe in this country. They love it. They don't know where common sense is. So, Mike, big election. We the people have to step it up to at least get those that don't believe out of office that are just leading with the money on their minds and selfishness. So, you know, a big, big week. And I just want to touch on that, Mike, and get your opinion.
You know, Mark, you're absolutely right. I know exactly who, the type of people you're speaking to. There, many of them are young, old, in between.
All mixed.
But they're all saying the same thing. How did this happen to the United States of America? And the leaders who are supposed to protect us did zero. How is it even possible?
You know, and we, you know, me and John Omler and Rob, and they got my back. We meet these buses with a team, even my mom at 86, and we welcome them. We, you know, shake their hands. We honor them for coming to the store. But we've seen more tears and crying in the last few weeks from these bus people when they hear the story, hear what we're about. I've got a great letter I'll send you guys from a family that's been, you know, supporting our country through service their family have done since the 1700s, and I just received it this week, and it's very touching. But they want to keep this store going. They believe in it, and there's not a lot. There's only 5 or 10% of us that really get and commit and really make a difference and impact our country in different ways. And that's what we got to do, Mike. We got to get past the politics. I tell them on the bus, Made in America is not political. It's not an R&D thing. It's a common sense thing. I've been interviewed by 600 different journalists from around the world, and not one of them went political. We have to, Sports Country Living the Japanese, did Project Wisdom, Project Reshoring with me. We were interviewed by the Yomiuri Shimbun, largest newspaper printed. South Koreans, they all believe in supporting the country living, 50-50 fair trade. And we have to lift the stigma on working with your hands. We have to, as we the people, start speaking up, Mike.
You know, working with your hands, you know how many people tell me that they prefer the job that they were trained for after they graduated college than they did when they had a college degree and nowhere to go? They love their job. They love they get into the supervisory portion of it. They worked 10 years and they became a supervisor. They said there's a thing that's missing in the United States, and that is a desire to train our people for the future. I mean, we're talking about violence. We're talking about all the things that mean problems for us. But we're not talking about the things that will benefit us. It's having a young man or a young woman go to classes beginning at, say, fifth and sixth grade. They already were talking about that in the past in the parochial schools anyway. Yeah. By the time you went to seventh and eighth grade, I mentioned before, you had to say what you were considering, what you would like to go to, because the teachers, the sisters, would want to try to direct you when you're going into high school into the right classes. It was the counselors and all were absolutely fabulous. I went to a extremely good parochial school, and I have to tell you that they really looked out for the well-being of their people. When I speak to people now, they don't say that. In fact, I talked to someone just Saturday. I was out at an event, and person said, I said, what are you going to do now that you graduated from college? That was in May. Put their shoulders up. I don't know. And I thought to myself, what's some months ago? But then I said to myself, Michael, keep your mouth shut, say very little, and just move to the next subject. On Saturday, we had a wonderful festival. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I go through the crowds and I talk to the people. And everybody from the neighborhoods and all want this changed in America. Yes.
Yeah, Mike, I just want to say my daughter, Jessica, my boss, she's my youngest of four. And I always tell her fathers are tough to raise. But Jessie's in her third year of college, bus state, becoming a teacher. She goes in 3 days a week. She's teaching now, different schools around the area, some tough schools in Buffalo. And, you know, I tell her, you know, I joke with her, you know, teaching's important. I said, you got to get them to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I said, I know you'll lose your job that day, Jess, but I got your back. She can work for me. But, you know, Jesse's getting into teaching, and teachers, a lot of people don't know, they need them now, not most, but a lot, retired during the pandemic. There's such a teacher shortage right now. But I tell her, you know, teach with, you know, from your heart. I think of Larkin, you know, what Larkin you would tell Jessica. And this is a tough world, but she's got to be who she is. She sees so much going to these schools. What's being said and done, you know, everybody wants to erase our history. It's our history. So there's a lot, you know, I can learn through my daughter just going through the ropes, you know, trying to get to become a teacher. But I think it's such an important job, but I'm not sure what she can do as an individual, as a teacher in these different times.
Well, you know, Mark, you're absolutely right. How is it that the boards of different school districts were able to get to the point where they would just reject certain classes, certain ideas? This is
right.
If federal dollars are a certain percentage of the regular school budget, with those dollars should come, you know, directives. You have to honor the Pledge of Allegiance, and they're saying now we can't have the Pledge of Allegiance because we have so many different creeds in the room that they pledge allegiance to no one but to their God.
Yeah, that's bull, Mike.
And, you know, when I hear that, I can be either silent or, you know, very outspoken. Well, that sort of drives me insane because, first of all, you're here in America. Be an American. That's one of the reasons we're having this major problem in the United States. The people in Washington try to just pacify. Here we are, not 5 or 10 years into the pacification process. We're over 35 years into the process. Many of those people in Washington that came in as young men are now 35 and 40 years into the system. They should have better sense. They should have been gone a long time ago if they felt and they understood, the people that understood, that who were voting for them, that you need change from time to time. If the person's not offering you what they're going to do to benefit your community, to benefit your country, it's time for them to go. These people want to fill seats, but not duties. They have no duty to the country other than to themselves.
Yeah, Mike, you know, yesterday I recorded our show for Saturday, my show on WEC Radio, Big WEC Radio, and Ricky Lee was our guest. You know, Ricky always fired up, and it's tough being a country singer on the road and sole proprietor, and Henry, you know, and Larkin, you know, and Rich. It's just tough, but Ricky, he was on a roof while we're talking to him because he takes some side jobs to get through, but he just sent me a new sample of a video he just made called In God We Must Trust. And you'll see it. I just sent you guys a text, but listen to it. He's still polishing it up, but it still stands true. So Ricky, doing good, but fighting the fight as a, you know, really you got to invent yourself every day as a musician. He really focuses on our veterans, and I always told him 10 years ago, you won't go wrong, staying patriotic, Rick. And, you know, he did that, Mike. But you listen to, you know, people that are fought these last 31 months through the pandemic, the administration change, the Ukraine war affected me tough. I watched a show on 60 Minutes with Taiwan and China, China's threat to Taiwan always. We've got some big things going on in this country, and I just don't see that we're facing any of the problems and finding answers. Like Larkin and Rich says, we just don't want to talk about it. We want to find answers. Buying Made in America, having a Made in America store, selling Made in America product, that's an answer. If we had the tariffs, I believe in, but where does the tariff money go? And if it was applied to the deficit, excellent. There is an answer. So that's what we've got to do, guys.
You know, next week I'm going to ask that we focus some time on what caused the depression and maybe even make some, you know, ideas come about that what's going to happen if we don't do something now about our present-day economy. You know, just yesterday, they announced that they had a special discount day for one of the major national sales companies. They said that they did around 50% of the business that they thought they were going to do. People are just sitting back and not spending their dollars because they're concerned. No matter what amount the gas goes up or down, it's still way over a dollar per gallon.
I'm glad you bring that up because utilities, now we study everything. I got my sewer. I call her CSI Sue. Our utilities, Mike, the natural gas coming up now, you can't like what's going on. This is a rapid inflation recession. It's all here. After November 8th, they'll start talking about things I've talked about and we've talked about for the last 2 years. I had said buckle up over a year ago. Buckle up. We're not even there yet. After November, it's going to be buckle up. And then the more they put it on TV, the people are going to really start clamming up and stopping spending disposable income because it's down. For your fixed income people and the families that are spending $480 more a month than they did a year ago, this is real, but it's kind of like we're in utopia, like Rich would say. Nobody really wants to face this fact.
You're right, Mark. I have to tell you this. There's all kinds of new programs being introduced by city government, state government. Many people don't understand them. Luckily, we have some agencies in the community that are very good. Even some of those agencies are helping American workers and, you know, getting them to know the companies that are offering good jobs that will be lasting for many, many years in the future. But many of the programs going out, especially to the retired people, they don't understand what the lingo is. The people who make up the applications think that the people over 65 and 75 years old understand things exactly the way they do, and they don't put it in plain English for everybody and anybody to read. I just had to bring attention to a particular program that was introduced where they said, oh, it's this and it's that. I said, no. When you read the background of the program, you must actually live in the house, not own the house and live elsewhere. You can't have an investment property. And the person said, oh, really? And this is the person that's part of the committee that opened up this new program. And they said, well, it means primary owner. I said, yes, primary owner that lives in the house, not an investor who has three or four houses. They're not going to get those discounts on their annual tax program. And they said, oh, well, that should be better. I said, it is, but it's in language that regular people are not going to understand. It's the hierarchy that's putting this stuff out to confuse the hell out of the regular everyday person. And what's it benefiting? You know, Mark, I want to ask you a question. We've been watching all sorts of levels of political ads for many months. Is there any candidate running for election or re-election in your area that impresses you and makes you feel that they're going to really represent the ideals and goals of the Buy American Made campaign, better communities, getting the job skill programs back in the school? Do you hear any of that from these candidates?
You know, I did. I liked Chris Jacobs in our area running, but he bowed out after the Buffalo shooting, and, you know, he thought it'd be too heavy on him. And, you know, there's been people that came around, one or two here. A lot of them wanted their picture with me. I didn't want them. I said, everybody's welcome at our store. You don't have to call and ask to come to my store. Just come. But there's not been enough that actually recognize and have the backbone that will stand up to what we're talking about today. Common sense, what we need done. Businesses, talking to businesses and seeing what they're going through right now today, the brutal facts of the current reality. And that's what we need more of, Mike. And it's a shame you just don't see it.
You know, that's why I brought up earlier to contact your local national leaders. Just don't make calls anywhere. But the people who are your congressman, your state senator, make sure you contact them and say, we need change in this country, and we're going to depend on you if you are elected. The biggest message of today's program is, no matter what happens in this election, our type of message has to grow. There are a lot of people who fear getting involved in our message, and the reason they fear it is because maybe somebody in their family, their friends, their neighbors are operating stores where 80 to 90% of the products in the stores are now foreign made. So when you say you want more American made, what you're saying to them is your store has too much foreign made, and that you don't want to start a battle. But we haven't reached a point where I can see any candidate focused on the importance of jobs in America, how important jobs and job training is in our schools. Can you imagine, we are giving money from the federal government, we are giving money from the state government to our schools, and yet we have very little say about what really should be in those programs, that where they're going to send the money to the states, yet there's no guidelines. We want more of this. This is the kind of people we need in our business industry. We need accountants. We need people who will be able to make things, people in order to invent things, not just bring them from overseas. Just like this morning, the person who was installing the cash register was a representative of the foreign country training American workers how to install the new foreign cash register. I couldn't believe it. I said, Why are these guys here, you know, taking so long? Well, they're instructing, not only installing, they're instructing American workers. I thought, wow, have we reached the point where we have to bring in foreigners now to instruct our people how to install something? Yes, the answer is yes. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, I would like to hear, and I'm inviting people to contact me this week anytime. Send me a note, michael@americanworkersradio.com. That's michael@americanworkersradio.com. And identify candidates that you say are really, really focused on the Buy American Made campaign, getting jobs back in the communities, getting job programs in the schools. I'd like to see and hear from different communities where this is actually taking place. From time to time, I watch TV, and the ads that I'm seeing on TV, none of them impress me. It's mudslinging. If I wanted to know this person did this 10 years ago, then I know all that negativity. But it's not telling me one thing. Mark, if somebody says, I like Mark Andel, because look what he did with his life. He had problems, and then he took a problem and made it into a home run. That's what I like to hear. Where did they hear it? On broadcasts like ours, on broadcasts like yours, in articles that we put up about you. They know what you represent. A lot of these candidates, they don't know what these candidates represent. No, nothing. Just, yeah, I heard he did that 15 years ago. What about today? If something happened 15 years ago, was it a crime or was it something that happened and it was forgiven and passed through? Why are you bringing it up 15 years later during a campaign that is so important to the well-being of America? Mark, I don't understand it. What else is happening in your school districts? Do you see any change happening in your high schools?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're seeing some change, some local schools that are, especially in the farm communities and the rural areas, that are adapting, getting some metal shops and wood shops and training back in for the kids to get them exposed, Mike. So I do like to see that when it happens. It's a slow process. The pandemic definitely slowed that down, the Dream It, Do It, the PTAC program. The budgets were cut. So, you know, unfortunately, we got to get traction again on a lot of these items. But it needs to happen now because the students that learn, you know, skilled trades gives them a purpose, but they're going to make the money of doctors. I tell everybody, I'm paying more. People are paying more. There's less skilled trades qualified people out there now, Mike. So it's a great, you know, business to get into and to learn about.
You know, Mark, there are so many people retiring. When they mention, oh, we gained 250,000 jobs last month, I think to myself, that's true. However, 10,000 people retire every day. When you add that up across the country, that's the way it goes. They're saying, oh, we had 240,000 new jobs. Yes, you're replacing most of the people retiring with the jobs. There are no new big industries coming around. There are no big programs around that need that many employees. You're replacing people who either left to live with God forever or retiring to enjoy life. This here has got to be something that is addressed in the future as well. Nobody wants to tackle the program of there's nobody left to replace the people retiring. And I mean no one. So they're trying to say, well, we're going to try to computerize it so that it's not going to be that expensive in the future. But the reason we're slowing down on things right now is because we have no qualified people to replace the people retiring. Have you found that in your area, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. And through the pandemic, so many people retired. You know, they say the youth are staying at home. And, you know, the 18 to 22 are learning to live at their parents' house and not looking for jobs. The biggest problem around here, there's billboards, Mike, signs that people, we need employees. We need people that want to work. But, again, I think it's a culture change. You know, work used to be priority. You have to have a job. You have to have an income. That's number one. And, unfortunately, somehow, through the pandemic, it got worse and giving out free money. Whatever made it happen, work is not a priority now. And it is a huge, huge problem that has to be looked at also when we talk about electing qualified politicians.
Now, I'd like to see, Mark, and I'm sure you will agree with this, the brand new Congress address this issue. First of all, someone was telling me yesterday and another person on Saturday, one of the people worked for the Unemployment Insurance Bureau. If you're unemployed, you had to go there personally. This was 30 years ago that you had to do this. Today, everything's done over the internet, so you never meet the person, period. The thing is, how do you find out what the qualifications are of the person these days without seeing them, without bringing them in to actually interview them. I mean, you're
hard thing, Mike, you know, with people, you know, you go through the resumes. Some of them aren't filled out. Some of them are just filling them out to get the free money or to stay on unemployment. But you get them in, and we have a 90-day probation. But the fact is, Mike, you really can't, you know, learn about somebody until you see them in action. You let them get through the couple weeks of nervousness, but then you got to see what they've got. And, and we get a lot of young ones in lately, and, they go to church on Sunday, great character, and I'm looking for great character. But they're very green. They weren't taught the fundamentals in the schools like I'd like, having metal shops and wood shops. Learning things from 6th, 7th, 8th grade right into the high school would be helpful. So we've got to teach these young guys, young men, right from scratch, not only how to weld. We've got hydraulics, wiring, fabrication, mechanical. So it's all kind of put on us. But if we're kind of reaching out, trying to find good character now, and then figure we can work with that. But you're going to invest 3 to 5 years before they can really stand on their own.
You're absolutely right. Mark, if that didn't hit the target, I don't know what will. We have to go back almost a generation, go back to the way things were in our schools. When people graduated, yes, people graduated and they from high school and they went to be a doctor, they went to be a lab technician, whatever. But there were also a number of graduates that went immediately into various electric programs, electric unions, where they retrained people and made them, according to the standards of the company they were working for. You don't have anybody to bring into these programs. You're bringing all people that are in high schools, graduating with high schools with a degree, but no hands-on possibilities of saying, oh, I did that in high school. I know exactly how that works. That's unfortunate. And I see it here in our great city of Philadelphia. And Philadelphia is a great city, and I'll tell you one thing. If they had all the trades back in the schools and the boys and the girls felt more confident that they are graduating with degrees, knowing where they're going to go, what they're going to do in the future, I really think it would be a lot better for them. Not knowing where you're going, it's like getting into the car, sitting at the steering wheel and say, well, where do I go?
Right. Yeah, no plan. You got to have a plan, but what people and our listeners need to understand, we're looking for people because we can't grow without skilled trades. We can't grow with more welders, more fabricators, more mechanics. We just can't grow general welding and fabricating more without more employees. But everybody's looking for employees, but everybody's looking for skilled, certified, trained employees already would be number one. If not, we get into an apprenticeship situation, which is okay, but takes time. We're dealing with heavy, heavy, brutal facts right now, Mike, that, in 37 years of business for myself, these are the toughest times I've faced. So we want immediate, trained personnel, which just doesn't exist. And I'll tell you, some of the bigger places, they may be getting busy in the railroad work or other areas out there, but they can't grow. They can't find employees. So then they might find a general welding and use us as a sub if we've got enough employees to take on the extra work. And that's the scary thing, Mike. There's just not enough people in the pool. And the pandemic made a lot of people retire, so it even made it worse than it was, say, past the 31 months ago. So this is something that, we're talking about things that need to be addressed, and somehow incentives or, school commercials that say, hey, get into skilled trades, get into, carpentry, welding, mechanical. These are great futures, great careers, going to pay big money, and you're always going to be able to fix your own things and work on your own things, too. So, Mike, it's something that needs to be driven, maybe a national agenda.
You're absolutely right, Mark. Even if they sold it to the parents and to government in various school districts, the boys and girls will leave here at least with the knowledge of how to fix something in their own home. Today, they're totally green on it. There's nothing there. I'll tell you one thing, from what I see in A little over a generation, we watched the real downturn of America, and it's mainly because too much instant access. I see now that when you talk to somebody, they're constantly reaching for their cell phone. They have to be on social media. They're looking for that text. They can't live without looking at that phone. And today, too many people lost the ability to have a face-to-face conversation without a cell phone or social media device that's going to be able to help them. They're not able to do it. Or if you say something, you ask something, they'll say, wait a minute, I can check that out on my cell. They have no desire to say, well, I heard, I read, whatever. I don't know anything about it. Let me find out on my cell.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I like talking to these bus people like you would, Mike, you do in your shows. You know, not only do I tell my story, Rob shows them some products. It is Marketing 101, too. But we shake the hands. We look in their eyes. We hear their stories. We listen. And I just had a 99-year-old lady in our store from Illinois yesterday with her 77-year-old daughter and Mike, no cane, walking around. I said, how do you do it? She said, I guess I got good genes. You just keep going, young man. You just don't quit. And she's 99. I'll send you a picture with her and myself and Rob yesterday. I got such a big kick out of it. Here, my mom's there at 86. You know, but it gives people hope. And this lady was a school teacher, had done a lot in her life in America, loves America. But when I see a 99-year-old person walking around without a cart carrying things, I'm like, wow.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm going to have to tell this story, and I tell this from time to time. You're going to like this. You know, my grandmother was a very vocal person, very active person. And if somebody would complain, oh, my hip, my this, my that, she would say, oh, no, with that kind of mentality, you're going to get old faster than you should. She said, I have a formula for, she used to tell us in Polish and English to people, it cracked me up, unbelievable. And they would look at her in amazement. In fact, I just told that to somebody yesterday, and they said, I am going to follow that program. And what she would say is, until you're 100 years old, you have to consider yourself as young. You have to consider yourself as young, because that's your destiny, to 100 years old. In the Polish, they sing Stolat, may you live 100 years. After 100, she said, you have a little excuse. Now, people would say, what is it? It's you turned another number. You went from two numbers to three numbers. You're now 100. They can start feeling a little aged. So, Mark, you tell your mom, your dad, they have many, many years to go to 100 years. So they have to wake up every morning and think, wow, I'm young. I got to be on the run. And that, you know, that was very helpful, especially when people thought, oh, well, I'm retired now. I'm worthless. I'm this, I'm that. My grandmother says, no, there are a lot of people who need your help. You can volunteer, go help children, work at the library, go to the senior center, help out, distribute the bingo cards or whatever. Do not ever think you're too old to be involved, too old to do anything. And that's something that we have to encourage people to do. Our young people have to take the opposite. They have to ask themselves, what am I going to do when I graduate from high school? Not ask somebody and they just put their shoulders like, I don't know. No, to know where you are. You're going somewhere. You get in a car, you have a plan. Well, I'm going to the store. I'm going to take a ride to the shore. I'm going to the mountains, whatever it is. There's none of that today. They just, they exist by their cell phone, computers, televisions, and there's a great loss for socializing. In fact, I can tell right away when I talk to somebody if that person's devoted strictly to their devices or are they an outgoing, you know, happy-go-lucky person. I can tell right away. And I say to myself, well, wonderful. I'll enjoy speaking to this person. Some of them that are just, you know, we need our politicians to wake up and see what's happening around them and then encourage their dollars that are coming from Washington to be directed to those job programs that you have spoken about for over 10 years, Mark. Get
yes.
those jobs back in the schools so that the boys and girls have someplace to go upon graduation. Life cannot be just passing time. You have to be on the road to go somewhere. You walk out of your house, you have a reason you're walking somewhere. We have to give our young people a direction to go. I talk even to my grandkids. I tell them, always something. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's always something to look forward to. Well, the people that are in our schools, they have to know something good that they're needed yeah. to do.
Well, Mike, you know, I remind people, I get accused of having enthusiasm every day, and I say, that's okay. You know, it's not, you can be enthusiastic. You know, and I'm positive, and, you know, I get kicked, and I get knocked down, I get back up. I've gotten pretty good at it, but it's okay to be enthusiastic. It's okay to be positive. That's the problem with just constantly watching the news, constantly getting wrapped up into politics. You know, it's okay. You got to go out and say, you can be decent. Treat people like you want to be treated with something I was told years ago by an old gentleman, and it's so true, Mike, and you know it. You do it. But, you know, we talk about things. We talk about issues. We're still in the greatest country of the world, but we're worried about it. It's falling, and we've got to answer it. We can't just live on what our ancestors and past people have done. And that's what worries me now. They got to take it serious. Kids got to take it serious. People got to take it serious. They've got to do their part. They got to listen and find one way or another to make a difference and impact our country for the good of the good.
You know, Mark, if I was going to elect you as a governor of a state, what would you like to see happen to make some positive changes as far as it's concerning job skills and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first I'd open my campaign would be Common Sense Campaign. But we would open up schools and businesses and really tie them together to get the younger kids. I want it in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. I want kids taking on tours to certain businesses to see things for themselves and say, hey, that's cool, or what's that, and ask them questions at a young age. And then that's why I like the PTEC program. The PTEC program, you 6th, 7th, 8th grade, you kind of decide what your child likes, and then you get an okay to train them on what they like and what they believe. And, you know, for that four-year program, you get to finish your 4 years in high school, the young man or a lady, and then you spend two extra years in that same high school and get a two-year degree out of the high school, but you focused from a young age on something you want to do. My godson had wanted to fly a plane since he was 10. He was focused. A lot of kids don't know what they want to do. Mike, I'll ask my father, he's 86, uncensored. He still doesn't know what he wants to do, right? But if we can expose our young children more in high schools, let people come in and talk to them, if it's firemen and police or welders and mechanics, but we got to do more of that. We've got to get these schools. I don't want them to have to be bused to a metal shop, wood shop. We get the two basic classes back in there. Because I always said if you're becoming a doctor, you should still be able to work a screwdriver or a hammer. But most of the kids I see, if I walk them through at 12th grade and different programs, they said, what's that? They never were exposed to it, and that's something we're losing, Mike. So that would be where I start, to get the young people exposed to what we're talking about, these skilled trades, and what, you know, what's going on. Everything has a computer now. Everything's high-tech. If you get a long-haired kid, he's smarter than most on the computers, and these guys are gurus out there. You know, and that's what people don't realize. Everything has a computer. If it's a car, a tow motor, every piece of equipment I have, you have to be sharp. And it's not breaking rocks with a hammer. And that has to be, that stigma has to be lifted, Mike, if we want to grow these skilled trades.
Yep. Oh, you are right. You'd be a great governor. The thing that I would add to that is I'd like to get these business associations back in operation big time, not just to go and have a lunch every 6 months or a year, but to get community businesses back together. Talk about, get people to come in who are able to sell you stuff made within your community. One of the things that was great 25 years ago is a lot of the business associations would talk about supporting local manufacturers. Sell in your store what's made within a 35 or 50 mile radius. We don't hear that anymore. Nothing. 25 years ago, that it sounds like, oh, it's a long time. It's not. That used to be the kind of thing that was done at a business association. Today, it's who should we honor this year? What should we bestow some kind of, you know, proclamation for this or that? It's not the way America needs help. We need people. And that's exactly why the people in Washington saw, well, the local people, the taxpayers are not speaking up. So we'll just do whatever we want. We'll ignore, you know, them and just do whatever we do want to do, spending our time in office. And that's why America is in the problems it has today. We have tons and tons of areas. I mean, America is a huge, huge country. I mean, when you look back 100 years ago during the Industrial Revolution, because a lot of that took place here in the Philadelphia area, there were so many businesses manufacturing things right here in this country, whether it was furniture, whether it was shoes, clothing, Philadelphia, New York, Delaware. There were so many thousands of these businesses. Today, they're non-existent because they were purchased by foreign countries, and that's where those items are coming from. People tell me, well, they used to have a board meeting on Fifth Avenue around 52nd Street. And I said, what's that? Why don't they have them? And they said, oh, those boards are all gone. That's now a condo building where they used to have their meetings and companies and all. That's all finished. Well, how did that happen? Who's the example? Whose example did we take?
You tie automation and everything we've learned in the technology of today. That's where I like the American-made movie by, you know, Clyde and Sandra Strickland had a vision, but the movie should have, you know, went more national than it. It just shows and explains what we talk, why globalization's okay, but we have to make things here at home, and how making things is cool and neat. And that type of, I think, marketing, you know, the American-made movie, them types of things have to be more pushed on billboards and, you know, on your TV shows. And I think you could grow this and change, because when we looked at the problem with, you know, the schools and metal shops, wood shops not in schools and industrial arts gone, a lot of it was parents, parents, and parents. We all agree that, you know, students and people need a purpose, and we've got to give them a purpose. We can't just try to push one size fits all one way. And that's a big mistake, and that's something we've made. Now we've got to adjust to it, Mike.
You know, Mark, November, we declared it on this broadcast as Made in America Month. You're dealing with hundreds and hundreds of companies making things with, you have over 10,000 products at this point. I'd like to see the people in the industries that are here in the United States start promoting their products. It's a good time. It's a good month to do it. And then, as you know, December, we're going to promote all small businesses throughout the United States of America. It's a holiday time. It's time when people really go out and buy things for the holidays, no matter what faith or creed they are. They like to share the good times at the end of the year. We're going to push people to support National Small Business Month. The thing is, I don't understand, and many of our listeners and supporters don't understand, why people like you and I, Larkin, Rich, and all of our guests and so many business people that support us are able to work on this, and yet we can't get focus from national leaders, because they say the things that, like, November is Made in America Month is controversial. Why would you think they would say that's controversial, Mark?
Yeah, you know, that's the problem, though. If they don't understand it, if they don't understand the need, which I think we have a big disconnect in people really understanding the life of an entrepreneur or a businessman, Made in America Month, the importance of a country supplying its own products. We used to say George Washington, he made it a national agenda. He wanted his clothing made here. Abraham Lincoln wanted the railroad here, and he wanted to make the rails here and install them. They all got it. This is nothing new. But if you don't even see that, or you can't understand that, there is the problem, Mike. You have to build things to be a good, solid nation. You have to build and produce things in your own country. And we, like yourself, always said 50-50 fair trade. But I don't think people really realize what we're talking about sometimes, about making a product here, raw materials, the whole product, and all the money stays here in the country, and it feeds you and your neighbor.
Yep. Mark, when I asked that question, can you support November as Made in America Month? Sometimes people would say, I'd like to do it. However, it's always the however. However, yeah. Michael, in the last 10 years, 85% of the stuff I have in the store is foreign made. So if I put that note in my window, a little banner that we have, a little promo, November is Made in America Month, I'm actually stepping on my own foot.
Yeah. You know, with the pandemic, Mike, we learned so much. We thought and we hoped that PPP, our safety products, our drugs, China owns all the base materials. We hoped shipping container shortages and supply chain issues, global supply chain. We hoped we'd learn, and I pray we did. I've got a big problem with one of my major plow manufacturer suppliers. They're 90% made here, but the 10% that's globally made, they're having big global supply chain issues still, and it affects my sales. So I sent them a nice response to their email that we may not get certain plow parts to November. We need them now, and I said, you know, you're not making things in America is actually hurting my livelihoods. So I put this letter back together. I did get response. I do have some parts coming, but the point is, if you had something made over in the last 2 years that you can't get here, a harness or whatnot, find a way to build it here, at least until you get stronger, because I'll pay a little more for it, but I need my product right here. And even even Caterpillar, the big Caterpillar dozer dealer, they learned to be a continent of origin. So even logistically, it just makes sense to make things in your country.
You know, Mark, you're absolutely right. Now, if you were waiting because there was a backup, and it was the backup problem was in another state, you would say, well, I'm going to go after them and say, yeah, I need that product fast. But instead, you're waiting for it to come in on a shipping container from a foreign country to make your product 100% ready to for sale. You need that foreign-made product. Something's not correct. And I think once this election is over, we have to become more vocal. And many of the people that I kept on the back burner, I'll welcome them back to the program because I didn't want to make this a political thing. I did offer some people to come on, and then when they told me what they were going to come on and say, I say, no, I don't think that's the thing to say. And one even was going to say the 50-50 balance is too much. We shouldn't put a balance on anything. Just let it be the way it is and let commerce, go the way it goes. I said, well, if we don't think about America first, we'll never think about it. We'll talk to you after the election.
There you go.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say talking with Mark Endel is always a pleasure because this is a gentleman who put his heart and soul into moving forward in very difficult times that he's experienced. I want you to please support his broadcast. It's right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, just Made in America Radio Show. And of course, support Mark in every way that you can. Whatever you buy on his site, he will have it shipped right to your door. No worry about when it's going, you have to get to a Buffalo area or anything like that. Mark does everything online as well as if you come in and visit him personally. Do spread the word, and until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I want to wish you and yours the very best. Thank you, Mark, for a wonderful, wonderful broadcast today. God bless you, and God bless America.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, and Rich Larkin, and Henry, and as always, again, Mike, that site was madeinamericastore.com, but it's never about us. Buy Made in America, it makes sense. Great show, Mike. Thank you. God, we still trust.